Iman has right. Abu Nu'aym reported in Hulya and Ad-Daylami in an authentic isnad from the hadith of Ali that the Prophet said, there is not a single heart amongst the hearts except that it has shadows like the shadows of the moon, shadows like the shadows of the moon. So every time a cloud or a shadow goes by, then it covers the light, otherwise the light is shining. So look at the eloquence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says that the moon, it might be shining, but a cloud might go by and cover up that shining light. Likewise, iman is in the heart. It has a light. But when sins come by, they act like clouds and they prevent the light from coming upon the heart. So just like the clouds prevent moonlight from striking the earth, likewise sins prevent the iman that is in the heart from affecting the body. So every single heart has clouds, like the moon also is blocked by the clouds. When the clouds go by, you see the light. When the clouds are there, the light is blocked. So of the great factors that prevent you from being affected by the fitnas is iman. So the mu'min, the one who seeks help with Allah, he will be of those who are firm in the fitna because he has iman by the permission of Allah. As for the one whose iman is weak in his heart, then he will be like the plaything of shaitan, going left and right. He will be following his own desires. He will be following every temptation. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. The question is, how can I increase my iman in my heart? And the answer, to be very brief, try your best to put your heart in those situations that will make it more strong in its iman, and keep it away from those situations that will make it weak in its iman. Take your heart to the religion of Allah, to the place where it will become strong with iman. Go away from videos and movies. To the best of your ability, take it away from every single sin that it will follow. And take it to places where it will become strong, like salah, like Quran, like remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like hanging around good friends and being around halaqat and religious knowledge. All of this will make your iman strong. If the iman is strong, then this is of the strongest factors that you have of preventing yourself from falling into fitna. The third factor is Islamic knowledge. To stay away from the fitnas of knowledge, the fitnas of, desire, except you will stay away from them through knowledge. I came to Houston for the first time. Suppose if Sheikh Wali did not meet me in the airport, I would never have been able to come here. So whoever tries to find a path without a guide, he's going to go astray. Whoever tries to find a path without the proper guidance, he is going to go astray. Whoever goes with the proper methodology, he is not going to find the proper way. So the primary guide away from the fitness is ilm and knowledge. And actions. Knowledge and then actions based upon that knowledge. All of these doubts that are going around in this world, you will never be able to save yourself from these doubts except through going to the Islamic knowledge. Oh brother, take some time out to learn. Make sure you don't give up some time. Make sure you take some time out for this knowledge. Don't let your business and your job take you up so you don't turn away from your religion. Make sure you specialize a certain factor of your day, a time of your day, to learn fiqh and to learn aqidah and to learn your usul. As long as people are learning knowledge, they are going to find sabat, they are going to find firmness. As the Prophet ﷺ said, in an authentic hadith in Sahihain, That knowledge is not going to be snatched away from the breast of people. Rather, knowledge will be snatched away by taking away scholars. Until finally, when there is no scholar left, people are going to take ignorant scholars as their leaders. So they're going to be asked questions, they're going to give fatwas without knowledge, they're going to mislead other people and also misguide themselves. You are never going to get out of the fitna of doubt except with knowledge. In fact, even with the doubt of desires, the fitnas of desires, the only way out is through knowledge. Because that's what's going to teach you what's halal and haram, what's sunnah and what's bid'ah. The fourth factor that will save you from fitnas. The first one is seeking help in Allah. Second one, strengthening your iman. Third one, trying to learn as much as you can. The fourth factor, make sure you stay in the masjid as much as you can and offer your salah in jama'ah in the masjid as much as you can. This is the ship that will save you from drowning. This is the ship that will save you from the fitness. In any place and any time, especially in this time and place, the masajid of Allah. Try your best, to the best of your capability, to come to the masjid with your family and children, to one of the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Read the Quran, attend halaqat, pray, learn Quran, learn Arabic, learn the sunnah. The ship that will save you is the masjid. To stay with the masjid, stick with the masjid. To pray five prayers in jama'ah if you can. Except if you have a valid excuse, a darura, sickness, or strong winds or rains. But try not to go away from the masjid. Try not to waste praying in jama'ah. Look at what the Prophet ﷺ said. As is in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, the hadith of Abu Hurairah, the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever goes in the morning or evening to the masjid, then Allah will make for him a position in Jannah every time he goes in the morning or in the evening. Allahu Akbar, look at this blessing. Whoever goes in the morning or in the evening, morning or evening, Allah will prepare for him a position in Jannah every time he goes and he comes to the masjid. And in another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, should I not tell you that thing which will erase your sins and raise your ranks in paradise? He said to perform wudu perfectly and to walk to the masjid with many steps and to wait for one prayer eagerly after another. This is the ribat, this is the true jihad in the way of Allah. And another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, if there were a river next to the house of one of you and he were to take a bath five times in that river, would he have any dirtiness left on him? They said, this is the example of the five prayers, Allah will erase all of your sins by it. Another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, and some of the ulama made it da'if, Shaykh Albani made it sahih, that Ibn Mas'ud said that the Prophet ﷺ said, you are burning. In other words, in your sins, you are burning. But when you pray the Fajr, then it is washed away. Then you are burning in your sins. Then when you pray Dhuhr, it is washed away. Then again you are burning. Then when you pray Asr, then it is wiped away. Then you are burning. Then when you pray Maghrib, then it is wiped away. Then you are burning in your sins. Then you pray, when you pray Isha, then it is wiped away. Then you sleep, so nothing is written to you, for you or against you until you wake up and you start your sins again. The fifth way, make sure you recite a certain every single day, recite the Quran a certain time, single section every day. Unfortunately, many Muslims, they only recite Quran in Ramadan. Is that when Ramadan comes, they open up the Quran after Ramadan, they put it on the highest shelf. And this is not something that is good for the Muslims. Of the greatest factors that will keep you firm in times of fitna is to make sure that every day you read a certain section of the Quran, a certain part of the Quran. Regularly. Even if it's a small amount, but regularly, every single day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said,
speaking about the kafirin. Why is not the Quran revealed all at once? This is because this is how your heart is made firm, and we have recited it in portions. So the portioning of the Quran and the recitation of the Quran, it makes your heart firm. Like Allah says, it makes your heart firm in the worship of Allah. Allah says, those who make jihad in our way, we will guide them our ways. We will guide them to our ways. So if you make the effort to read the Quran, then Allah will guide you. If you don't recite the Quran, if you don't listen to the speech of Allah and recite it yourself, then what are you waiting for? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, recite the Quran, because it will come on the day of judgment as an intercessor for the people that recited it. Recite the Quran, because it will come on the day of judgment as an intercessor for the people that recited it. And in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the Quran will be brought forth, and the people that recited it and acted upon it, leading it will be Surah Baqarah and Surah Ali Imran, as if they are two huge clouds or two huge flocks of birds, two huge lights. They are going to argue on behalf of those people that used to recite it, argue that not take them to the fire of hell. And he says, the Prophet says, Alif Lam Mim is not just one letter. No, Alif is counted as a letter, Lam is counted as a letter, and Mim is counted as a letter. So the benefits of the Quran are many. Like the Prophet said, you should not have jealousy except for two people. The first one is the one who has been given the Quran and he recites it day and night, and the second one is the one who has been given money and he spends it day and night. These are the only two people that you can be guilty jealous of. The sixth the day and night. These are the only two people that you can be guilty, jealous of. The sixth factor to keep you firm in times of fitna, and this might be very difficult for many people, and this is the praying of the night prayer. Some people might say, oh, may Allah forgive you. Oh Shaykh, many people don't even pray Fajr and you tell us to pray Tahajjud. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. The Muslims, they want to get back the Quds, Jerusalem, and they want Kashmir, and they want Tajikistan and Tajikistan, and they want the Khilafah, but they don't even pray five times a day. Look at the desires. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has certain sunnahs in the creation that do not change. Allah has certain sunnahs that will not change. When a whole ummah does not pray Fajr, then they will never be able to get Quds. They will never be able to get glory. When they will never be able to get Khilafah when they can't even pray Fajr. This is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The heaviest salah upon the hypocrites is the Fajr salah and the Isha salah. Where are the Muslims at Fajr time in the masjid? Where are the Muslims? The heaviest salah upon the munafiqun, the hypocrites, and this is the same in the Prophet ﷺ, the truthful. So beware of being amongst the munafiqeen. The heaviest salah amongst the munafiqeen is the Fajr and the Isha salah. A person will talk with women, with his girlfriends for hours, and he will not think of the time. But when he is sitting in the masjid or praying behind the imam, and the imam reads a long surah, then his heart becomes hard, and his impatience becomes apparent.
رأيت الآلاف المؤلفة من البشر من الشباب يجتمعون لمشاهدة المباريات.
He said that the match, the world match took place, soccer match, 1 hour before Fajr time in Egypt. So he said he woke up and he saw the whole world was awake at that time watching the finals, but at the Fajr time no one came. So they'll wake up for that, but they're not going to wake up for Allah.
وإن تخلو عن الإشراك فيها تدبر للأمور بالالتقاء
He's reciting some poetry. He's describing a person who is impatient at people who are making the salah long, and yet when it comes to the dunya, they are spending all of these hours for the dunya and for their desires. O Allah, O servant, Allah is not equivalent to a female friend of yours that you are equating. That basically with the friend you will spend hours, but Allah you are not going to spend any time with. So pray at night. Pray even one rak'ah. Put the alarm clock on. Half an hour before Fajr. Just half an hour. Even quarter of an hour, 15 minutes. Pray. Pray two rak'ahs, one rak'ah. Pray three rak'ahs. Stretch forth your hands to Allah. Few minutes at a time when the angel comes down and Allah himself comes down and he calls out, who is there that is asking my forgiveness so I can forgive him? Who is there that is making a dua, I will respond. Who is there that is seeking forgiveness, I will forgive him. And this continues all the way till Fajr. It is enough for you to sleep so much. Just wake up a little part of the night. One of the greatest ways to prevent yourself from falling into fitna is to pray at night. Many people don't realize this, oh brothers. Praying the night is of the greatest factors to keep you firm in the daytime. Look at what the Prophet ﷺ said. The Prophet ﷺ said, as a hadith reported in Hakim and Tirmidhi by an authentic isnad, the Prophet ﷺ said, I command you with praying at night, because this was pleasing to your Lord and forgiving of sins and preventing evil deeds. Praying at night is going to prevent you from evil deeds at day, prevent you from falling into sins. So of the greatest ways to be firm is to pray at night and to raise your humble hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The seventh factor, to constantly remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who remembers Allah is alive, even if his limbs are cut off from him. And the one who is away from Allah, from the remnants of Allah, is dead. The one who is away from the remnants of Allah is dead, even if he is moving and walking amongst the living. And the one who is remembering Allah is the one who is truly alive, even if he has no limbs and he is still. The Prophet ﷺ said, as in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, by the hadith of Musa al-Ash'ari, the example of the one who remembers his Lord and the one who doesn't remember his Lord is like the example of the living and the dead. The one who remembers Allah and the one who does not remember Allah is like the one who is living compared to the one who is dead. So the remembrance of Allah is one of the greatest fortresses that you can protect yourself from shaitan. In a long hadith reported by Ahmad, authentic hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one who remembers Allah is like the one who the enemy came behind him, so he found a fortress, so he entered that fortress to fight against his enemy. This is the example of the one who turns to the remembrance of Allah, it protects him from shaitan. If you remember Allah, then you are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are with Allah. What a great blessing. If I ask you where you live, and you say, I live next to this minister's house, next to this famous person's house, it's a great honor. You are happy and content that you are close to this person. So imagine when Allah will remember you and you are going to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says in a hadith Qudsi, I am with the thought of my servant when he thinks of me, and I am with him when he remembers me. If he remembers me in himself, I remember him in myself. If he remembers me in a gathering, I remember him in a gathering better than him, better than his gathering. If he comes closer to me a hand's length, I come close to him an arm's length. If he comes close to me walking, I come to him running. So the one who remembers Allah is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lastly, my brothers, of the factors that keeps you firm, to continue to remember death and to continue to remember paradise and hell. If you only think about death, then you will never commit sin. If you think of paradise and the permanent blessings of paradise and the hellfire and the punishments of hellfire, you will never think for one second of a sin. This is a command from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet said, as an authentic hadith reported by Tirmidhi and others, the hadith of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu, increase the thinking of that which destroys all pleasures, death. Increase the thinking of this thing. Increase remembering the factor that destroys all pleasures. It is death. No one will think of this when he is in a good position with his monetary ways, except that he will be constrained. And no one will think of it when he is constrained, except that it will become easy for him. Whenever you think of death, no matter what your situation is, it will be for your good. How? Again, he's quoting poetry. How can you think of sins when Allah is watching you? How can you think of looking at sins and looking at this when you will be in your shroud and your wrap on the day of judgment, in your grave? If anyone were to live, then the Prophet is going to live forever. But everyone will die. So therefore think and increase your thinking of Jannah. Remember Jannah. Be careful of the fire. Remember the fire, for its punishment is severe. And I conclude this. By reminding you of the blessings of Jannah, the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I have prepared for my pious servants that which no eye has seen, nor or any ear has heard, nor in fact any man has even thought about that. So the na'im or the blessings of Jannah cannot even be thought. As for the hellfire, then we seek Allah's refuge. The Prophet ﷺ said, that the lowest person in the fire of hell, the person who has the least punishment, is he who has been wearing two sandals so hot that his brain is boiling because of that heat, and he thinks that he is the worst punishment, yet he is in fact the least punishment in the fire. So we pray that Allah saves us from the fire of hell, and that He reminds us of the truth, and that He makes our death come upon Tawheed. He is capable of doing so, and this is sufficient inshallah for our speech. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Sayyidina Muhammad and upon those that follow him. And may Allah thank you for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.